And hello, this is George Patton with another edition, show number 12 of Gardening for Life. Today's feature topic will be weeds. Big topic with all of us. Most of us think about, oh my God, pulling weeds, I'm going to wear myself out. But you don't always have to wear yourself out. One of the reasons that weeds are hard to pull sometimes is that the soil is very hard and dry. So it's a good idea when you're going to work the soil, whether you're going to loosen it up to plant veggies or if you're going to loosen it up to get weeds out, is you water the night before you're going to weed. Of course, if you're talking about a pot, it's not that big a deal. But anyway, you water the night before, and the next day, unless you have really heavy, wet, mucky soil, you have to wait an extra day. But if you don't have that kind of soil, you can test it. If weeds seem to be coming out pretty easily with a shovel, again, shovel, fork, something, a tool to help loosen up the soil even more around the roots, then they'll come out so easily. But that's one of the strategies for pulling weeds. Sometimes we don't need to pull weeds. If you've got lots of seeds forming on your weeds, yeah, you probably need to pull them. Or you can take a pair of hedge trimmers, or if you don't have too many, a pair of hand pruners, and snip off like maybe 50% of that weed. And you're probably asking yourself, well, why would you do that? Well, the reason you might want to do that is you're going to plant a nice little transplant. The weather's real hot. And so that weed that doesn't have seeds on it now, maybe it's about a foot tall, and it kind of shades and creates a nice little cooler climate for that transplant. So shade is one of the reasons that we might want to leave weeds. And weeds are also great to put in the compost pile. So if you've got a weed that keeps coming back and grows fast, I don't think you want to pull it out. If you can handle where it is growing, if it's not going to interfere or shade, cause any sort of problems with your veggies, you can leave it and just keep so-called harvesting the tops. Just keep cutting it back and putting the tops in your compost. In other words, weeds are a resource. So we don't need to necessarily see red and want to pull out every weed in sight. Weeds are very often an indicator of what kind of soil you have. You know, if you have a certain kind of a weed, that tells you you have too much of this mineral or not enough of that one. There are books that explain that. I'm not going to go into that right now. But some of the common weeds that I'll talk about that we have around here that are very ubiquitous, that really just keep coming on and on and on, are lamb's quarters. And not that you're going to look at lamb's quarters and understand. You're not going to understand if I mention a plant, unless I mention malva. You might remember malva because it has got a very round leaf, and it looks a lot like a geranium leaf. So malva is one of those weeds that has lots of round leaves. They're very good for you. It's a weed, like a lot of weeds, that are very nutritious. So nutritious, I used to, back in the day, work for a gal that had a horse. And every time I showed up at her property, I would give the horse a couple of leaves of malva. And after a while, the horse would follow me around his corral. I would be on one side or the other side, and he'd walk to that side, and he'd look at me like, hey, I'd like some more of those leaves. So horses like it. I've actually got some books where I've studied up on it, and it's one of those weeds that's real good in the juicer with other things. So there is another aspect of weeds that's a good thing. Some weeds are very nutritious and very good for us. There are some that are poisonous, not too many. Most of the ones around L.A. are not poisonous, but unless you really know what something is, unless you've gone on a weed identification walk, most of the weeds look like nothing else. They're very, very easy to tell apart, whereas mushrooms are not. With mushrooms, you've got to be super careful. Weeds, not that careful. So, weeds sometimes send out a lot of little seeds on top, like some of the grasses, and they can be some of the worst weeds. I know that sometimes the people have chickens, they want to pull grasses out and feed them to their chickens. But if you're going to do that, you probably want to take the seeds off. Seeds on grasses very often can get in dogs' or cats' ears and cause infections. It's good to cut those down. Now, of course, those seeds are going to produce new grasses, but if you don't really want those coming into your garden again, then you might want to take them out. A lot of grasses don't get that big anyway, so they're not really going to do that much good for your transplants in terms of shade or any other reason why a weed would be good for your garden. But grasses could be used in the compost. You could cut them down. But a lot of grasses won't come back that fast. One of the grasses that you could try cutting down, but it doesn't get very tall, but it creeps like crazy, and so I recommend you take it out, is Bermuda grass. Bermuda grass is a real nightmare. Bermuda grass would benefit very much from getting the ground really wet, because otherwise when you're trying to pull the Bermuda grass out and you're grabbing it by one of those creeping roots underground called the rhizome, they're going to snap off. And wherever it snaps off, it's going to grow back. So you want the soil kind of soft and almost wet. And my mom used to have me weed it when I was a kid and make sure the ground was muddy, so it would never resist so much. It would just come through the mud. It would, the whole rhizome, whatever you would grab onto, would come out. It wouldn't break. So Bermuda grass is one that we really want to get rid of. St. Augustine is another one we want to get rid of. A lot of people don't have that problem. St. Augustine, like Bermuda, comes from the Caribbean area. St. Augustine has a very broad, wide leaf, quite broad, probably as broad as any other grass, except I'll name a couple of plants that are in the grass family, and you'll be surprised. We technically don't call them grasses, but those two are corn and bamboo. And corn and bamboo grow almost twice as fast as any other plant because, as I mentioned in a previous show, they're in a group of plants called C4 photosynthesizers. You don't have to try to remember that, but they grow twice as fast. They can make energy from the sun twice as fast as any other plant. A lot of grasses will grow that fast. There are a lot of other grasses that are in that group. But grasses, as a rule, have little seeds on top and the wind blows them, and there's not a lot we can do to control them. If you have the so-called foxtails in your lawn, it's a good thing to try to get rid of those, because right about maybe in June, no, more like this month, they start ripening their seeds, and you want to try to get those out before those ripe seeds fall, because when that happens, then you're going to have another huge crop of foxtails next year. And that is the rule to think of regarding a lot of weeds. Whether you're going to keep the weed for shade or you're going to keep the weed for your compost, you want to cut down that 50% or 25% on top of that weed where the seeds are, so that you don't, unless you really want to, unless you really think there's a reason to have more of those weeds come back. But if you don't, you want to cut those seed heads off and either compost them in a really hot compost or put them in the old green bin. So weeds can be our friend. Another plant that's not exactly a weed here, but it is called a weed by some, is alfalfa. And a lot of horses like to eat alfalfa hay. We can sometimes go to the stores and find alfalfa sprouts. Alfalfa is very high in minerals, like some of the other plants that I could name, but I'll name one that I just talked about, which is malva. Yeah, malva has a very deep root system, as does alfalfa. And those deep root systems are able to get way down in the soil and pick up and hold on to all kinds of minerals and put the minerals in the leaves. So they're very good for us, and that's why alfalfa sprouts are sold. Malva hasn't quite gotten into the standard operating food procedure of most people. I don't even eat it that often, but we all should. We all should eat more malva. It's a really good thing. So alfalfa is one of those so-called weedy plants that has a really deep root. It's a perennial, unlike most weeds that I've just discussed, except for Bermuda grass. Most of them are annuals. In other words, they only live for 1 year. But, of course, the annuals tend to put out lots and lots of seeds. And all those seeds then bring that plant right back. So it doesn't have to live forever. It doesn't have to live for years because it makes all those seeds. But some of the plants that are perennials, like alfalfa, put a few seeds out and they make some babies. But they have very, very deep root systems. So it's really good to plant alfalfa and clover and vetch. You probably haven't heard of vetch, but you can find it in some of the gardening books for a cover crop. Clover, vetch, alfalfa, they're all real good cover crops. Cover crop meaning keeping the soil moist, re-enlivening the soil, and adding lots of nutrients, especially nitrogen. Because I believe it was a couple weeks ago I talked a little bit about legumes. L-E-G-U-M-E-S. Legumes are plants that really have a lot to give us. They have all kinds of wonderful qualities. The most notable one is that they are nitrogen fixers, which means they can take nitrogen out of the air and they can put that nitrogen into the soil. And most plants need nitrogen. That's one of the engines, you might say, that plants need. They need that nitrogen. Very, very important. And that's why sometimes it's a real good idea in terms of plant companions to plant beans, which are nitrogen fixers. They're in that legume family, to plant beans around your corn. They wind up the corn, which is good for the beans. And then the beans are putting all this nitrogen in the soil, which is extremely important for the corn because corn is a so-called heavy feeder. Bamboo, you know, I was talking about corn and bamboo being such fast growers. Bamboo could be called the heavy feeder, but it seems to make it without heavy feeding. It seems to make it on its own. So one of the things about bamboo that's interesting, that's edible, is that when the new shoots come up, if you peel the outer husk off, there are these delicious, sweet, very easy to chew, crispy, juicy shoots inside, you know, bamboo shoots. We've all probably heard of bamboo shoots. A lot of us probably haven't eaten them. And the reason I bring bamboo shoots up with corn is that people that eat corn, most of us have eaten corn or continue to, have never realized that in the corn stalk, that part of the corn that is usually broken off, so we just have that ear of corn, in that stalk is that same, very similar material to the bamboo shoot. If you would take a piece of that stalk and cut it with a knife, you'll notice that there's a very juicy interior, and you just peel off a couple of layers of that outer husk, and you will have a really, really delicious treat in store for you. So corn husk, definitely go for it, especially if you grow your own. When you go to the market, you're going to find corn that's usually not a very good variety. It's not going to have all that much good nutrition, and it's not going to have any stalk attached to it because it's been snapped off. So there is a really good reason to grow your own corn. More nutritious, better for you, fresher, tastes better, and you've got this really long stalk, and you can just keep cutting 3 or 4 inch sections of it or whatever, however long you want. Keep peeling the husk off and keep eating until you get to a point, and I don't know where that point is, where it's too tough, probably down toward the base. I believe it's a lot sweeter toward the ear of corn. So corn, bamboo sprouts, go for it. Very, very nutritious, very good for us, something a lot of people don't eat. Now, bamboo shoots, probably a lot of us are not going to want to raise ourselves. You're going to have to buy them in a market. And I would recommend you don't buy them in a can. Canned bamboo shoots, they're probably full of all kinds of strange things that you can't pronounce. But if you could buy them fresh, usually in an Asian market, they're probably going to be quite good. Another thing that you can do regarding keeping your weeds in control is to lay down a weed barrier after you've dug the weeds up. And all a weed barrier is a kind of a fabric that is woven but has lots of holes in it. So it breathes. It lets other plants that might be, if you made a little collar of it, in other words, around a plant, it would tend to keep the moisture in the ground, and it would tend to keep the weeds from growing around it, which in many cases could be a good thing. You don't want weeds, obviously, growing up around your vegetable that you're looking forward to eating and shading it so much that it doesn't really produce very well. So the weed block, as they call it, or the weed barrier, is a very, very useful material. I believe it's made of something that's not too biodegradable. So if that bothers you, then you can use cardboard. Cardboard has a tremendous benefit for the soil organisms and the worms. As cardboard gets wet and starts decomposing, it literally gives off some nutrients to some of the critters in the soil. Now, if it's cardboard that's got too much printing or color on it, I wouldn't recommend it. It should be pretty much free of any printing whatever, and it shouldn't shine. It shouldn't have any waxy material on it like the cardboard boxes that come in the markets. It should be pretty much plain cardboard. And as you water the cardboard, it starts to get very, very much degraded where it touches the soil, and the worms come up and start to chew on it, and they love it. And it keeps the soil very damp and cool right where you put it. So I recommend that you take and cut a round circle of cardboard and then cut a very small circle in the center for putting it around your plant. And then cut a straight line, you know, like a radius, not a diameter, not all the way through, but you cut from the outside to that central small hole, and then you can open it up like a pair of jaws, like a Pac-Man, and slip it right over the stem of your plant. And it can protect the plant from all kinds of critters. Another thing that some people have in their gardens, not all of us do, is snails. And the garden snail, I've done a little research on this, comes from San Jose via a Frenchman that moved into San Jose in the 1800s, in the 19th century. And he realized that maybe they weren't the best variety for the gourmet French restaurants. I think the French restaurants use a much larger snail. But anyway, the so-called common garden snail was introduced here. It wasn't natural. Some people have a lot of them. One of the things that you can do with them, you can do two things. You can feed them to chickens. They love them. Or if you want to try to eat them, I know it sounds a little bizarre, but I've done it. You can put them in a small cardboard box with maybe an inch of cornmeal in the bottom. And what happens is the snails eat the cornmeal and keep eating and, comes out the other end. Eventually, whatever weed they ate or possible poison that they ate will be gone. You leave them in that box full of cornmeal for a few days, and then they're quite plump and safe to eat. I'm not going to give you a recipe for cooking them. You can probably find that out in many cookbooks, especially French, and some of the Central American cookbooks. There is some fabulous Central American soup made from caracoles, snails. Anyhow, caracoles, snails, weeds, those are all things that can cause trouble in the garden. And of course, I was just talking about putting cardboard or weed barrier around your plants to hold some moisture in. So the other enemy, therefore, is lack of water. And so if we can save water, we're doing two things. We're saving money, and we're also not constantly watering the plant to the point where that water starts to compact that soil and put a crust on that soil, which means the soil can't breathe properly. The soil needs air. And the soil becomes compacted way down below so that the roots can't really keep growing and get larger. And so your plant doesn't get much larger. So just having that bit of cardboard or that weed block or a mulch that could be made from chopped up bark that you could buy at a nursery or you could get from a man that runs stuff through his big, huge shredder on the back of his truck when he does tree trimming, that's good too. Any kind of a mulch is important because it really buffers the effect of that water coming out of that faucet. Even a rain. Most rains in this area tend to be gentle, so it isn't critical to have the mulch. But the hot sun will dry out the soil regardless of what you have done with the water. And it is so important when you have the cardboard or you have the weed block that you put another mulch over that. And so in our climate, especially with all the wind and the heat we're having, your mulch probably should be a couple of inches. That sounds rather thick, but that's probably ideal. Otherwise, your plants are going to need too much water. When you do enough mulch, you're going to notice that the plant can go many days longer, or maybe a day or two longer, without wilting, without showing signs that it needs water. And also, when you don't water as often, guess what? The roots have to go down deeper in search of water. So less frequent, but deep waterings are going to help develop a deeper root system, which is a drought-tolerant root system, which saves you lots of time and lots of money. Well, I've given you lots of information. I'll give you a couple more facts right now. I don't want to give you too much information until I start having musical breaks so that we can perhaps digest some of that material and then I can go on a little longer. But one of the other things to think about when you're watering, you're putting some of that so-called tap water that we don't like to drink. Well, guess what? The plants don't like it either. The plants would rather have rain or, whatever bottled water we're buying. The plants would do much better with that. So less frequent waterings means less of that stuff in the tap water that we don't want. And that's less of the stuff in the water that the plants don't want. Also, that stuff in the water is very alkaline. And I know there's a lot of people in the so-called alkaline water movement, but plants don't want alkaline water. Plants want water that is very slightly acidic. And so what happens when you put that mulch of bark or chopped up leaves around the plant as mulch? Every time you water, which isn't that often now because your mulch is thick, right? Every time you water, that water going through that mulch picks up a little bit of that acidity and helps to balance out the alkalinity. The acidity balances out the alkalinity and makes that water more neutral, tastier, better. The plant can use it way better. Anyway, that's the acid-alkaline thing. Thank you for listening. This is George Patton, and I'm giving you, as I always like to say, a gardening for life sentence. Bye-bye.